Sometimes it seems that it would be easier to make decisions and choices based on what happens here and now, and only how the here and now be affected. What I mean is, I sometimes wonder how my life would be different if there were no afterlife, if we didn't have to worry about heaven or the possibility of hell or even purgatory for that matter. No eternal consequences, no consequences at all regarding the choices that I make. If after death, that's it, that's the end. Lights out, curtains closed, doors shut. I'm dead and there's nothing else. On one hand, it would seem that I could pursue every pleasure that I desire, live life, choosing what's good for me personally, what makes me happy, what makes me fulfilled, and that would include doing good things for others, like the gospel said. Because as we all know, we all feel better about ourselves when we're doing good deeds for other people. To do good for the sake of doing good. Being a good and pleasant person for the sake of being a good and pleasant person. Being helpful to others for the sake of being helpful. Being loving just for the sake of loving. Not for any eternal reward, but just to do those things because it's good in and of itself. And there would be nothing entirely wrong with that. Except for this fact. Not every person in the world thinks that way. There are some people in this world who are cruel and selfish. Some people who are deceptive and manipulating. Some people who are self-serving, greedy, and evil. People can be ungrateful. They can be unforgiving and unfair. So if that's the case, then what's the point then of being good or being pleasant or being helpful or being loving when you're going to be reciprocated with insults or complaints, anger, jealousy, and backstabbing? How do we come to terms with the fact that there is evil in the world, that there is suffering, there's misery, there's oppression, and death? How do we make sense of evil and suffering? How do we even find hope in a world that has so much darkness? Archaeologists, in unearthing the graves of prehistoric peoples, have always found hints. Hints that human beings have always believed in an afterlife. They find hints inside graves, along with the remains of human persons. They find preserved food. They find tools. They find hunting weapons. They might even find the remains of an animal, like a dog, that would be used for hunting in the afterlife. Things that they might need in another world. So it seems that there's always been, in the human understanding, something beyond this world that exists. Not only this world, but something beyond it. And for some, it's not just a world like this one, but something even better than this world, as we see in the writings of some of the ancient Egyptians and other pagans. There has remained in the human soul, from the time that Adam and Eve committed their original sin and were cast out of paradise, something has remained inside us, a longing, a deep longing within for a return to paradise. Now, that can only happen when God allows it. But see through history how many times human beings have, apart from God, tried to rebuild paradise on their own, trying to build their utopias, their perfect societies, perfect nations, perfect empires, perfect kingdoms, all on human thought, all on human value alone. Yet these human enterprises have failed in every instance. But one thing has not, and that is the kingdom of God, to which you and I belong, to the church, which despite every effort to crush it, the church survives, because as Christ Jesus tells us, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. But the church is us and Christ together. We can't go at it alone, and God knows that we can't go at it alone. Yes, we are created by God, who is infinitely good. And because we're created in his image and likeness, we are inherently good, but the fact remains that we are wounded. We are wounded by original sin and are still sinful persons. And apart from God, we can be exceedingly bad. Our desire for human happiness, our desire for order, our desire for justice, our desire for peace, for goodness, for life, for eternity, can only come from God. Can only come from Him who is the source of happiness and joy. God who created order in the universe out of chaos. God who Himself is righteousness and justice. He is the source of all that is good, and God alone is the giver of peace. He who is the author of life and life itself, the God who is love and the ruler of all, God and God alone is the reward and the end of all our desires, all our labors. God and God alone satisfies our most intense thirst and exceeds every pleasure. In Him is the complete satisfaction of desire, who can and will give us more than we could ever hope for, always. Brothers and sisters, nothing in this world can do that. No created thing, no created being can do this. God has made us for Himself, and our hearts will always remain restless until they rest in Him, seeking Him, desiring Him, obeying His every command. God is love. And this is why the man or the woman who is the poorest, the human being who is the poorest in earthly things, always finds that in possessing the love of God, he or she is the richest of all. Having nothing in this world but possessing God, we have everything. And we've all seen the opposite. How many people who are rich in earthly goods and seem to have every pleasure at their disposal, they have everything there, but these people do not know God. And yet they have the most unsettled, unhappy, and most restless lives. They have no peace or no contentment. They're always trying to amass more and more and more, trying to fill a vacuum that can never be filled except with God. This is why Christ must reign. Christ must reign in our minds. Our minds which accept His teaching in the Holy Gospels and the teachings of His Holy Church. This is why Christ must reign in our wills, and obey His laws, obey His commands, and fulfill them, the commands of holiness and love. This is why Christ must reign in our hearts, which desire Him and love Him above all things and trust Him completely. Why Christ must reign in our bodies, which serve as instruments of worship of Him and service to neighbor and the sanctification of our souls. After we have obeyed the Lord, and in His Spirit, nurtured on earth the values of human dignity, brotherhood, freedom from oppression, freedom from sin, after a lifetime of prayer, of sacrifice, a lifetime of hard work, of charity, fidelity, we can be assured, we can be absolutely assured that none of it is ever in vain. The lights simply will not go out. The curtains will not simply close. The doors will not simply shut. It will not be the end. Rather, a new beginning. As St. Paul told us, yes, in Adam we shall die, but in Christ we shall pass from death into life. But only if we have believed in Him, only if we have lived in Him, shall we reign with Him forever. Therefore, love Him, serve Him, obey Him. Love and serve one another. Love, serve, and obey Christ in everyone and in everything. As the book of Revelation says so beautifully, how worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and divinity, wisdom, strength, and honor. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.